Good morning, everyone. So, hope you all got to go to the Motor Speedway last night, had fun. It's been a great conference so far. We've announced a lot of innovative new stuff that's coming to Office 365 and SharePoint Online and, you know, all the online services. But today, we are here to talk about a serious topic. It's top of customers' mind. Office 365 security, privacy, and compliance. Great. Hope they'll get the door. Pardon? We'll talk about it later. Okay, this is the question on top of our customers' minds. Why trust Office 365? We'll go through the deck. We have a packed agenda. We'll give you enough reasons to trust Office 365. You can be rest assured. This is a very important thing for us. It's on top of our mind every day as we work on the service, build new features, or, you know, just in general, runtime management. So trust is a three-legged stool, if you will, three very important aspects of it. But the principle that guides us through all of this is the first one, which is it's your data. We believe that it's your data. We understand that it's your data. And that's what guides us in whatever we do and how we run the service. So you own the data, first of all. You own the data. You control it. We just run the service for you, and we are accountable to you. So based on this principle, three important topics: built-in security, privacy by design, and continuous compliance. Now, this is how we think about these three topics: security, privacy, and compliance. We'll talk more about it. And underlying all of this is how we run the operation, the transparency aspects of it, whether it's service management aspects, availability, reliability, performance, or the regulations, the privacy, all of this stuff. We try to be as transparent as possible with you so we can earn and maintain your trust. Just a little bit about our experience and credentials. We have been building enterprise applications for over a decade now, and we run over 200 online services today, and we're learning every day how to do things better, how to be more transparent, how to be more secure, how to maintain your privacy, and how to be more compliant with the regulations worldwide so it's easy on you. Okay? As you can see, we have various different milestones here that we've achieved over the last couple of decades. How do we think about security, privacy, and compliance? First of all, security. There are two dimensions to this. One is the service level capabilities. Everything that we do in the service, everything that's in our control, whether it's email or documents in transit or any of the files in transit, or how we store, how we secure the data in the service itself, this falls under service capabilities, and I'll cover that in detail. Second aspect, an equally important aspect, is customer controls. Right? We can control everything. You know, we can control things in the service. We can keep it secure. We can keep it compliant. But how do you manage it? Manage the things that are under your control. This is what customer controls is all about. With our experience building enterprise software over a decade now, we try to give you as much control as possible, so you can educate your users, train your users on how to keep the data secure, compliant, et cetera. And I'll cover that in detail as well. And I'll show a couple of features just to give you a sense for what we mean by that. Service capabilities. Now, my colleagues over the last couple of days, they've covered a lot about security service capabilities with respect to SharePoint Online. What I'll try to do is raise it up a level and bring it, cover this cross-suite capabilities, whether it's Exchange, SharePoint, or Link, or Office as a Service, right? How do we think about service level security? So we have a defense in depth approach. You may all be familiar with defense in depth approach. It's basically a layered model to make sure that we have rings of defense so that your data is secure, right? All the way from the physical, the facility level security, network, machines itself, host, applications, and how do we manage the data, administrators within Microsoft, and finally, the data itself, right? How do we protect the bits and bytes? How do we protect your files? How do we protect your emails? These are the aspects that make up the defense in depth approach. Finally, when you think about the risk that is posed to your data, you will understand that the risk is so far reduced, the way we manage the service, that you can have peace of mind that your data is safe in our cloud. Let's step through some of these things. Just to visualize, where is your data? Let's say your data is on a particular server in our data center. That customer data is in racks and racks of servers, is among the racks and racks of servers in our data center. And we have containers, tens and hundreds of containers across our service. So all of the customer's data are logically isolated, but they're spread across these servers. So imagine finding the data. So you can be, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. So you can be assured that your data is physically secure in our servers, in our data center. So let's step through the defense in depth approach. First of all, physical security. How many of you have you been to the Office 365 data center or Microsoft data centers? Great. All you will see, it's amazing. All you will see is containers and containers. And we talk more about power and cooling and that sort of stuff because it's on such a massive scale, right? So it's, and the security that as you enter the premises is very high. For example, I can't go to our data centers. I have to have prior permission, then I have to be authenticated, multi-factor authentication as you enter the premises. There's biometric identification, and in some cases, retinal scans even, and fire suppression. All of this sort of stuff, right? So we make sure that physically the data center itself is, the security is rock solid. Next, network. At the network level, right, we have this concept of external network and the internal network. External network is all of the systems that the customers would see as you log into the portals or what have you. This is separated from the back end where your actual data lives, right? There is encryption between the two so that there is separation of back end and the front end. There we do things like port scanning, vulnerability scanning, et cetera, to make sure no intrusions happen. Next, the machine level, the host and the application level itself. You know, we have several best practices like security development lifecycle, for example, where our engineers that design the service and maintain the service go through yearly training to make sure that they understand how to develop the service, are reminded every year how to develop the software itself securely and how to maintain the service securely, right? We have things like, we do regular patching, malware protection. We do audit all of the access to the customer data. And we also have something called zero standing permissions that I'll talk about in more detail here. We have a process called lockbox process for some of our services. The way we manage it is, for example, Microsoft admins. One of the common questions that we get from our customers is, what kind of access do Microsoft admins have? First of all, we very, very rarely access customer data. Everything is automated. all the way when the software is designed and deployed, it's all automated, right? Very rarely, on extreme rare occasions, we do have to, our admins would have to access the systems to troubleshoot or what have you. So the way it's done is there's this thing called lockbox where they actually apply for permissions, which is approved by another person, possibly his manager. And then once it's approved, then this person has to use two-factor authentication to log in, use a smart card or whatever, what have you. And the password that they use is a machine-generated 26-character password, one-time-only-use password. So they get this one-time-use password, they log in, and they perform whatever operations they need to perform, and then get out. The access itself is also time-bound. For example, they get like a four-hour access to perform certain operations and then get out. And now what kind of operations are they allowed to perform? Even that is controlled. There are whitelisted set of things that they can go onto these servers and do. For example, they can't go to these servers and open a browser and download some software. That's not allowed. There are set of things that they can do. For example, I'll give you an example. In case of Exchange, let's say they have to do some load balancing between the servers. They can move mailboxes from one server to another. That is the only operation that will be allowed. They will not be able to look into that, process or download any kind of malware onto those servers and things of that sort. So it's extremely controlled. You can think of it how controlled it is. Further, all of their actions are audited. All of their actions are audited, and all those audit logs and activities that they did will go to their to their managers, like for example, program management managers or development managers, so that they can audit their operation. So the risk is so minimized, and it has to be like a massive conspiracy of some sort for somebody to go in and steal customer data or mess with it. We do expose some of those logs to our customers in some of our services. It's a journey. We're trying to make, as we go forward, we're trying to make it more and more transparent and give access to our customers. Right. Yeah. The question was, are those audit logs exposed to the customer? So the answer is, well, in some services we do expose those logs, and it's a journey. We're moving towards exposing all sorts of logs to the customers. Further, along this journey, what we're also trying to do is remove any sort of human intervention to maintain the service. We have very minimal today, and we're trying to moving towards removing everything. Great. The administrators, I talked extensively about how they have access and how they have limited access and things of that sort. Further, we do things like account management. Like let's say an admin user leaves the organization, his account is automatically deleted, right? These are unique accounts, and zero standing privileges. I talked to you about it. By default, none of the admins have access to the service, to customer data. Right? By default, that's a very important point. Great. Let's talk about data. Now, we went through some different layers, physical, network, the machine level, host, application, et cetera. Let's talk about the data itself. The customer data itself is secure. How? We have customer data isolation. We use Active Directory organizational units. Every customer is assigned an org ID unique identifier. Only through that is that data accessible. So there is a clear separation between, logical separation between various tenants. So there's no mingling between various tenants. Then there are operational best practices that I'll talk to you about it. So we talked about, how we secure using defense in depth. There are other things that we do, the operational best practices, to make sure that there are no, intrusions or any of that sort. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then there's data protection. How do we protect the data? We use various technologies like encryption and information protection technologies to protect your data itself. operational best practices. So this is this concept of prevent breach and assume breach. So we have dedicated teams in engineering that are working on these strategies, right? Prevent breach is all about how do we prevent any malicious access to you know, customer data or to our service itself, right? We do various things where we are performing, you know, perimeter scanning, vulnerability scanning, and that sort of, all of the preventative measures to ensure that there is the customer data is protected. Further, there's recently, you know, a few years ago, there was a mindset shift to a strategy called assume breach, where we understand that there's always a small chance, a very small chance, that there could be malicious access. So what do we do to prevent this? We operate with this mindset of assume breach. We assume that there is going to be a breach. And then how do we prevent it? How do we prevent it, and how do we react to it, right? Talk about that. So this is the assume breach process. There are teams within Microsoft, dedicated teams, called red teams and blue teams, right? Red teams are white hat hackers. They're, you know, hired by Microsoft. We pay them. They're incented to break into our service. That's all they do. They come to work every day, and they try to break into our service. And then there is a separate team called a blue team that is trying to figure out what the red team is trying to do. This is the war game exercise, if you will, that they do. So they perform all kinds of attack simulations. Rogue users attacking from outside, or rogue admins from the inside. If they've already penetrated into the organization, let's say an admin turns rogue, they have all these kinds of simulations, and then they try to penetrate the system, and then the blue team tries to prevent them, and then they compare the notes and then prevent any other vulnerabilities that may happen. So they're also monitoring emerging threats. Let's say there's a new threat emerging, for example, Syrian Electronic Army or what have you, right? They simulate that kind of threat from the outside and from inside to see how rock solid our security is. That's about all of the operational best practices and everything that we do, right? Now let's talk about some technologies. How do we protect the data itself? So all of the messaging data in our servers, for example, all of your email data in our service, is stored in drives that are BitLocker protected. This is to prevent that one small scenario where somebody may break into our multiple levels of security into our data center and steal a drive. And a far more likely scenario where we may have to, there's a bad drive, we may have to take it out and either send it for repair or recycling or what have you. They are BitLocker protected. So even if the drive is taken out of these machines, they're rendered useless, right? As we announced yesterday, we're also expanding these to SharePoint servers as well, right? So all of your data is BitLocker protected. Further, we also announced another thing a couple of days back, Fortinox, right? For customers that want even more security, when you store your documents in SharePoint Online, all of this data is shredded spread across multiple servers, and each of those shreds are encrypted and protected, right? All of this, and think about it. It's not, you know, it's not only shredded and spread across the servers. It's also encrypted in, each of those shreds are encrypted further beyond BitLocker. That's about encryption at rest. Encryption in transit, all of the communications between our clients, our customers, and our servers in the service are protected using SSL or TLS, whichever is appropriate for that particular service, whether it's SharePoint, Exchange, or Link. Further, even between the servers, they're protected in transit. So there's no chance of somebody actually intruding in your, breaking into the pipe and stealing your data. So I just wanted to sum it up. That's our defense in depth. We went through each of the layers. So now you can think, the risk to your data in the service is so minimized with all of the things that we do, whether it's operational best practices or the technologies that we use in the service, you can be rest assured that your data is very well protected in our service. And further, we are innovating every day to make it even more secure, to have even more technologies to protect your data further. And all of these processes, all of these technologies and operational practices are independently verified by auditors. For example, you know, ISO 27001 auditors, right? All of these operational best practices are protected by whether it's, you know, we also have comply with FISMA, FedRAMP. So all independent auditors come in and audit all of these practices every year to make sure that, you know, not only we think we are secure, they're also verified by them. That was all about the service level capabilities, what we control in our environment. Next, we'll talk about customer security controls. Very important to us, we give you the controls that you need to protect your data, right? Let's step through those. Rights management service. This is the feature, this is the functionality that you have in your control to protect, further protect your data, whether it's in your hands or when it comes to our service, right? Rights management service protects your data at the file level. It's 128, we use 128-bit encryption to encrypt your data. And not only that, you can apply policies based on the identity of the individual, identity of the recipients, right? So you can apply policies like do not forward, do not copy, you know, do not share with others, that sort of stuff, right? So not only that, we're also, now we extended, before we just had the protection for Office documents, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, et cetera. Now we've also extended RMS to any file type. For example, your picture files or image files or even music. You can protect it using RMS app and uses the same policies that you have set up in the service. So let me just switch gears and show you a little bit of what rights management feature looks like. Switch to the screen here. So first of all, let me see a show of hands. How many of you are using rights management service on premises? You must know we need 10 to 12 servers, load balancing, redundancy, all sorts of stuff to implement rights management service on prem. We'll show you how easy we make it in the service. Right? Here I'm in the admin portal, Office 365 admin portal. This is my demo tenant. I simply go to service settings. And right there among all of the other controls, I have rights management. Let me go into rights management, manage. Slow here. Anyway, that button right there, I've already activated it because I wanted to show you a couple of things. That's it. You just one with one click of it, you saw under five clicks, about four clicks I had, and you can activate rights management service for your entire organization. You can save so much time, and you can have this feature is at your fingertips, right? And it comes with Office 365. It's built into Office 365. Now, you can apply rights management, like I said, to any Office file type on your client. You can apply all sorts of policies like do not copy, print, etc. Do not print, do not forward, or what have you. You can apply it to your emails. You can also apply it to your SharePoint libraries and folders. And let me show you a little bit what it looks like. Let me go to my OneDrive here, where I have all my files. Go to library settings. There's information rights management there. And I'm going to say, do not copy. And I can do do not allow users to upload documents that do not support IRM, or stop, you know, you can time bomb your files so that after certain sensitive files, they expire after a certain period of time, right? Do that, then. Done. So I go back to my OneDrive, and let me look into this folder. I just opened a Word document in web app. It's protected, the policy that I just applied. Even if you download this file to your local drive, or you email it, or what have you, these permissions are carried over. So now, the protection travels with the file, whether the file is in transit, or up in the cloud, or in any one of your machines. It's protected, right? That's a little bit about rights management. Now, I just wanted to quickly flash this. This is the new Microsoft Rights Management app that you can download to your desktop and protect any file, image, music, whatever. Switch back to my presentation. Excellent. I just wanted to show you the taste of how seriously we take this customer controls, right? How easy we make it for you to use it. The next one is S/MIME. S/MIME is very important for some of our risk-averse customers, whether it's government, very popular among government organizations, and legal firms. So basically, you use your certificate infrastructure on premises to protect files, whether you're sending files within your organization or to another person in another organization, as long as they have the certificate infrastructure. So we recently added this S/MIME capability. You can use S/MIME whether you're using it in Outlook or Outlook Web Access. Now you can protect your files using S/MIME encryption. Another protection, you might ask, how do I send files outside of my organization? What if they don't have the certificate infrastructure or what have, right? That's why we added Office 365 messaging encryption. Not sure if you're familiar, we had this thing called Exchange Hosted Encryption. We've carried over that feature to our Office 365 service. We call it Office 365 messaging encryption. Basically, you can send encrypted emails to anyone. The only thing that the other person needs to view that encrypted email is an Outlook.com account, right? Or a Hotmail account. That's all they need to look at it. Pretty low bar. So further, with the Office 365 messaging encryption, we have added custom branding. So you can add for your own custom branding for your organization when you send encrypted emails. You may be familiar with a lot of banks that use hosted encryption, where you get an email from the bank and you have to go to a portal and open it up and look at it securely. That's what this is. Okay? And you can add branding, disclaimers. And all of this, again, just to stress, in the service, right? Further, SMTP, TLS. You can add additional transport layer security, where you have the concept of opportunistic TLS and forced TLS, where you can have, you can set up your environment so that when you send emails, you can based on the type of content that you're sending, you can actually protect it further in transit. Or you can use forced TLS. You can protect all content that goes on the wire, protected using TLS, right? So those are some of the additional things that controls that you have. So just to sum it up, we protect your data in the service. Further, we give you these control various encryption controls, right? To further protect your data. And I'll walk over I'll talk about some of the other protection mechanisms that we have, like data loss prevention, et cetera, coming up. Okay? Further, anti-spam, antivirus. Obviously, you're pretty familiar with this. I won't belabor you with all the details. But it's comprehensive protection. It's easy to use. You have all the controls in your admin environment. Identity management, very important, right? We protect your data. We give you all of these controls. Now, how do you protect access? We offer various flexible options for your identity management, regardless of what your environment looks like, right? Whether you want to do, you know, have a complex implementation like Federation, where you have your own AD or another directory, whether it's IBM or Novell or what have you, right? You can federate with Office 365. If you don't want to federate, we offer something called password sync. Let me walk over some of those options. Three options. Regardless of where you're coming from, whether if you want to set up your cloud identity, you want to put all your identities in our cloud and manage it that way, we offer that. For smaller organizations, very easy to use, easy to maintain. You don't have to maintain expensive on-premises directories, federation servers, et cetera. You do that. Second option here, you can set up directory synchronization. This is a free tool that's available, DirSync tool. You can simply use it to replicate all of your identities and credentials that is on-prem to the cloud. And you can also sync your passwords optionally, right? If you don't want to manage multiple passwords, you can password sync. So you can use the same password on-prem and online. And these passwords are one-way hashed. Can we hold off the questions to the end? I'll leave enough time. So one-way hashed. It's hashed twice so that it's secure when it's traveling over the wire or when the passwords are in the cloud. It's unreadable, right? Lastly, if you're not comfortable with any of that, you have Federation, where you use SAML tokens to send authentication and authorization information to the cloud. So those are the various options, right? I also mentioned we support various other identity systems. It doesn't have to be Active Directory. But most of our customers have Active Directory, so that's the easiest path. One more thing about access protection. Recently added two-factor authentication. You can use two-factor basically is what you know, it's your password, and what you have, what you're carrying with you, whether it's a phone, or we offer various options, of course, right? We've added it to the service as well. It's very easy to add. You must have seen Mikhail show it in our keynote, how easy it is to set up multi-factor authentication in the cloud. So basically, you can use your second factor as a random code that a phone app generates. We have apps for Windows Phone, iOS, and Android, where you can use that app to generate random code and log into the service. Or you can send you can verify using your phone app, where you press a button called verify, and then it lets you in, right? Or let's say you don't have either of those. You can use your desk phone. You can have the service call you so that you can press a button and then you're logged in. So this is basically to protect your access with just not what you know, which is your password. Let's say your credentials got stolen. Now you can use what you have as well, right? I'd encourage you to attend a session tomorrow by my colleague Paul Andrew, who'll talk extensively about identity management, and he'll reveal some features about new features about identity management as well. Okay. Finally, I summed up the different types of risks that you may face and the different types of protection mechanisms that we have and implementation. This is just for your reference. It's there in the slideware. I won't go through every one of these. But the point is, we look at it from the risk perspective. What are the risks that are there to customer data in the service? And how do we methodically prevent every one of those risks and minimize the risk as much as possible so that you're secure in the you feel secure in the service, right? Whenever we talk about all of these mechanisms to our customers who are using it on-prem, they realize that it's impossible to replicate it. The amount of investments that we make, the amount of improvements that we're constantly making to security, it's just impossible to replicate anymore. Some more, and I'll leave it at that. Now the second important leg of this tool, compliance, very important. compliance and security are kind of two sides of the same coin. Like we also use, you know, as I mentioned, we comply to various industry standards like ISO 27001, SSA 16, etc., where there are independent auditors that come to our, you know, come to Microsoft every year to audit and make sure, you know, we're doing everything according to the standards, or, you know, even exceeding in a number of cases, right? So we'll talk about what does it mean to you, what standards do we meet, and also, very important, how do you not only comply to regulatory standards, but also how do you may have organizational policies. How do you implement those policies using Office 365? Right? Again, compliance, we look at two dimensions, service capabilities, what we do in the service to make sure you have, you know, the service is compliant, and then customer controls that you have, the governance that you may be familiar with, SharePoint or Exchange. These are the various, the alphabet soup of regulations that we meet, right? This is just the result of everything that we do. You know, it's not comprehensive. It doesn't include, we haven't included everything here, but this is just a taste of what all of the regulations. But this is not the story, you know, the whole story. How do we do compliance, right? The Office 365 service itself, we have various capabilities, whether it's you know, built into the service or the controls that we offer you. Using all of these capabilities, the operational best practices, the, you know, everything, all the technologies that we have implemented, we've built up control sets, control requirements, right? Kind of basically, we have over 900 controls today that we have set up in Office 365 Service. So what we do is we constantly innovate on these controls. Let me take an example for, you know, some of these security regulations, security standards like ISO or, you know, some of these standards have password strength. For example, password has to be this strong and this many characters and this kind of characters, et cetera. So what we do is we make sure that we build a control into our service so that control is strong enough to meet multiple regulations or even exceed multiple regulations. Similarly, we have various controls, like access control, how do we, you know, retain the data, how do we delete the data, et cetera, right? Using these controls, we support multiple regulations, whether it's ISO, FedRAMP, SSA 16, HIPAA, et cetera, right? So if there are new regulations out there, chances are we may already be compliant with it. We just have to go through and make sure that we have the controls required. And we're constantly strengthening these controls and making sure that they not only meet today's regulations, but also in the future, right? We have a dedicated team called Governance, Risk, and Compliance that sits within engineering that is working on this, dedicated. We've invested heavily. We take it very seriously. It's not a checkbox for us. We think it's very important to build this kind of a process to make sure our customers can trust our service. The next dimension of this is obviously, you know, compliance controls. The controls that we give you, so we do all the regulatory controls, standards, et cetera. So how do you let's say you have your own organizational policies. You don't want your certain people in your organization or certain sensitive documents to leave the organization, right? We have capabilities like data loss prevention, e-discovery, and things of that sort, where we can protect your users are using the service, we can warn them, we can protect them, we can block them from doing things that they either inadvertently or maliciously capable of doing, right? That's where data loss prevention comes in. We actually analyze the data, whether it's email or documents or what have you, that you're sending outside your organization, and you can build things like, okay, let me just warn the user in this case of a in a certain case, or block the users. The most popular one is like some certain financial organizations may prevent people from sending credit card data. You can build a template, you can build a rule using data loss prevention so that nobody is able to send credit card information outside the organization. You can get their warrant, and they can either override it or they can, you know, they're completely blocked. And all of these things are audited, so you can look at it and go, how many, and who sent sensitive data outside the organization, things of that sort. I'll show you a taste of, you know, a brief demo of what it means. Further, recently, in the last week at the, you know, after the RSA conference, we announced something called document, you know, DLP fingerprinting, document fingerprinting. Basically, you can take a document and fingerprint it. So we scan it and print it, fingerprint it, so that anything that looks like that document, any other document that looks like that document, is blocked, right? You rename it, you change some text, you do change some picture, what have you. It's fingerprinted so that the document doesn't leave the organization. I'll show you a brief demo. What I also want to show you in this demo is how we've thought about comprehensively using, combining some of these features so you can use, mix and match and use it, you know, based on the needs of your organization, right? Switch to my screen here. Okay, let me show you how you set up DLP first, right? So that's my Office 365 admin portal again. I'm an admin. I want to set up data loss prevention. Now, what I went into is what we call internally called the Exchange Console. But what we're doing is in the keynote demo we showed yesterday in some of our, you know, internal dog food servers, we have something called a compliance center where we have combined all of these compliance features so that you can easily find it and use it, right? Under here, we have something called compliance management. And you go into this, here you have all of the compliance controls. Now, these are all the controls that are available to you. These are not the, you know, controls that we use to make sure we are compliant regulatory-wise, right? So you have e-discovery and hold. You have auditing. Who accesses the mailbox and, you know, making it available to you. And we're building more and more capabilities into this auditing. So anytime anybody touches the customer data, you know, right? Data loss prevention, let me go into that. Here, I can manage policy tips. We've built in number of templates. For example, you know, I mentioned credit card or, you know, certain text strings that prevent, you know, that are prevented from going outside your organization. Now, let me show you the new capability, which is document fingerprint. I go into this. Now, I've already set it up, so it's easy for me to show you. It's a tax season, so we're all doing our taxes. So I thought I'll upload a fingerprint of 1040 document, so nobody is able to send any document that looks like a 1040 document outside my organization, right? Now, this document, there's a fingerprint that's created. It's on this document. Now, I'm going to close this. Now, let's say I'm a user, go into my Outlook here. Then I open an email, and I want to send it outside my organization, someone called Vijay. Say I insert an attachment from my desktop, something that's called a document. So I attached it. As you can see, there's a policy tip. This message can't be sent because it appears to contain sensitive information. So anything that looks like a 1040 document, now it's blocked. It can't go outside my organization. Now we can also set it up so that you can, you know, you allow the user to send it, but they have to override it. They have to make a conscious effort to override it and then send it. And also warn them that you know, the action will be audited by your organization. All of these policy tips are customizable. You can add your own policy tip for your organization if you want. So I wanted to show you that. Now, let me show you one more thing, which is... I just showed you how to use, you know, data loss prevention, right? Using the control. Now I'll show you. You can actually mix it with other features, right? For example, let me take fingerprint, for example. Right? Now I have a credit card template here. I can use it, manage it, and now I can set up various different rules to manage it. Right? So here, for example, I'm notifying the users that they're not able to, you know, send the credit card information outside of their organization. Now, let me show you. I want to add a new policy from a template. I call it new. I say audit financial data. Well, it's adding. So you can simply, it's that easy to create, you know, using our built-in templates to create new DLP policies, etc. Further, what you can also do is use this DLP along with our other features like rights management service or Office 365 message protection. So you can say, okay, if somebody wants to send this kind of data, you can actually protect it, right? Let's say somebody's sending the 1040 type of information outside the organization. Automatically, you apply rights protection to it so that they cannot, you know, the information cannot be forwarded or printed, et cetera. Right? That's a little bit about, you know, about how we have, you know, DLP protection and how we can mix and match with rights management or, you know, Office 365 message encryption. Back to my presentation. Just to sum it up, various you know, compliance features that we have are, you know, we do provide email archiving and retention. You can also apply litigation hold if you're you know, whether it's in Exchange or SharePoint. You can say certain users are, you know, whether, you know, investigation or you're auditing certain information on what on the things that they're doing, they're not able to delete their emails or documents, etc. In our SharePoint servers. So you can do that using litigation hold, and all of this is, you know, you can use very easy to use e-discovery portal in SharePoint to discover all of this information. Right? That'll help you do you know, apply more protection. Right? Finally, very important topic these days, privacy. I do want to spend a little bit of time on privacy. First of all, just to reiterate, the principle that we have that it's your data, we truly believe it's your data. For commercial customers, we don't build advertising products using your data, right? We only provide the services that you pay for. And you've come to Microsoft to give you you know, productivity services, whether it's, you know, email, collaboration, communication, et cetera. We only use our service to give you better service. We use it to make it better every day, but we only use it to provide you service. We don't build advertising products. We're also transparent about where we keep your data, right? We have a public portal, and I'll show you at the end of the presentation, called the Trust Center, where we actually tell you, for example, if you are a U.S. customer, a customer based in the U.S., where is your data located? So a lot of customers have concerns about, you know, their data traveling overseas, et cetera. So you can go see for yourself what kind of data travels where, right? We have these things called data maps in the Trust Center. We also, not only where your data is kept, we also talk about who has access to your data, what sort of roles within Microsoft, you know, within Microsoft or you know, contractors that we use to maintain our service have access to what kind of data and what roles, you know, operations personnel, what sort of access do they have to the data, right? We make all of this transparent to you. For example, the people that are working in the data center itself, in the physical data center itself, they have no access to the logical side of the data, right? They only have access to the facilities. They can go switch out disks or what have you. They don't have access to the data itself, and they don't even know what you know, which customer's data resides on what service, et cetera. Similarly, people, the operations folks that are sitting in Microsoft that have access to the data, right? They don't have physical access to the data. So there's this role separation, if you will, right? We'll provide you an additional layer of obfuscation or abstraction so that your data is secure. We also have, you know, we also think about privacy by design. We build privacy, sort of privacy across all of our products. For example, SharePoint, you can have privacy controls to see, you know, to make sure who can view the data, who you can share it with, et cetera, right? Even email, like, we build privacy controls throughout. I mean, with Link, you can set it up so that, you know, some people that you allow are able to see your presence information and certain others don't, right? We talked about advertising. Transparency, we talked about it, where your data is stored. We tell you who access and what is accessed, right? And how to get notified. Let's say we change some things in the service, right? We make this commitment to our customers that any changes we make to these important aspects, we notify them. We send notification to our customers about what we changed. Just a moment. I'm almost done. I'll leave enough time for questions. Trust and confidence. This is, with the recent revelations, NSA, Prism, et cetera, is a very important topic. We take it very seriously. Our chief legal counsel, his name is Brad Smith, he's written several blogs now where he's gone out and we've publicly taken a position on where we stand on this whole NSA Prism stuff, right? So we want to make sure that we are transparent about what is it that they do? What is it that they're doing? What is it that we are doing to make sure that you all know what, you know, how seriously we take it? Couple of things, right? Let's make it very clear. We don't allow any unfettered access to our data. There have been lots of rumors, innuendos, you know, all sorts of things about how we provide access, you know, how Microsoft or whoever provided access. No. We don't provide any unfettered access to our data. There's no systematic access for any, you know, government or third-party organizations, right? We don't build like backdoors into our products. We don't share encryption keys with any third party, including the governments, right? We don't. We're not involved in any systematic surveillance programs or any of that sort, right? And to be very specific, we've gone even further, and I'll show you. You can all go. Read the blog in Microsoft.com and search for Brad Smith, who's our chief legal counsel. We've said, right, we have not provided any of our commercial customer data to the government so far. Today, we have not, right? So whatever rumors that are out there, all of the news in this space are extremely exaggerated, and in some cases, you know, they're not even true, right? Taking action. Right, that's the blog that I was talking about. It's publicly available. It's also linked from our Trust Center. You can go have a look and read it for yourself. We talk about, you know, what is it that we do, you know, how we're being transparent, how many requests we received from the government, etc. Finally, resources. I talked about it. The two key resources: Office 365 Trust Center. It's easy. Trust.office365.com, where we talk about, you know, all of the things that I talked about, whether it's security, privacy, or compliance, or transparency, and we also have the blogs, right? And I do want to call out there are a couple of important sessions. There's one change management session, how we manage the service, how we try to be transparent with you, so you can expect you know what to expect from our service. Jake, my colleague, is going to talk about it tomorrow, and the identity management session tomorrow, which are important as well. Let me just quickly show you what the Trust Center looks like, and then we can take the questions. Right, that's the Office 365 Trust Center. That's you know, external. And there's a link to the blog that I talked about. We talk about each of these pillars, like privacy, you know, security, transparency, et cetera. We also talk about service reliability. For the last six quarters, we've been publishing our availability worldwide uptime numbers, and we've exceeded 99.95% in every case. The recent one was 99.98%. You can go read about all about how we do you know, reliability in the service, how we think about keeping your service not only secure, but also reliable. Okay? Great. I'm done. So we can take questions now. Yes? Could you be a little louder? I can't hear you. Yeah, a little louder. So you cannot selectively choose attributes to sync, but you can always choose things like, you know, groups of attributes. For example, let's say you're an educational institution. You want to sync all of the objects in the liberal arts school or the college or whatever, right? You can sync, you know, a set of attributes. You can choose to sync set of attributes to the service, but you can't choose the, you know, the different sorts of attributes that you want to sync. Yes. So, yeah, in our trust center, we do talk about it. We call it data portability. I believe it's under transparency. Privacy, maybe. So we call it data portability. So basically, we give you certain, you know, like scripts that you can run to download all your data and take it, you know, if you want to leave the service, right? We want to make it easy for you if you want to leave the service. And also, we retain the data for about 90 days, and then after which we'll delete it. Right. I hope that answers the question. Yeah. At a what level? The question is if you can have, you know, give certain permissions to, you know, view certain columns in SharePoint Online, right? I'm not sure. I'd have to get back to you on that question. I'd have to check with my SharePoint colleagues on the metadata itself. Sorry, I can't hear. Is there a mic? Sorry.
Just right over there. Especially on SharePoint Online 365, Office 365, there's a cookies vulnerabilities hijack saying that if you go to Office 365 SharePoint session from one computer, public computer, and just copy the cookies and take it to the another computers, you can go to the Office 365 SharePoint session without using a username and password. It will automatically log in. We have tested this in our within our environment. Is there any solution yet? Or do you know anything about this?
How long ago did you test this?
I tested 3-4 days before, just.
Okay. I'm not sure if we're talking about the same thing, but there was videos on YouTube and stuff that somebody created in the UK and put it up. But as soon as we became aware of it, we plugged it, and we also said none of the customer data is actually compromised because of that. I'm not sure if we're talking about the same thing, but if this is different, then I'll, you know, I'm happy to take your question and find out more about it.
I think because this issue was first found in Germany around November, somebody was reported this issue in from Germany in November, and it was given to our team to find out if it directly affect to us, because we also have Office 365 on the SharePoint.
No, I think we're talking about the same thing. We have this thing called Microsoft Security Response Center, MSRC. From what I'm aware, we fixed it, and we even published a KB article about it. But if, you know, if there's more, then I'm happy to take it offline and talk to you.
I'm saying because we tested this on Thursday.
Yeah, that's why I'm a little.
And it was there, the issue is still there.
I'm a little surprised. If there's some updates that you have to apply on your side, or some instructions that, you know.
No, it was in the Office 365, so we can't apply any updates.
No, I know. But, you know, let's take it offline. And
all right, thank you.
Yeah. Office 365 at one point offered FINRA compatibility. Now it seems to have gone away. So, really, when was this? We do. As far as I'm concerned, we are FINRA compatible. We'll talk about it. We have, especially for financial services, we've gone above and beyond. For example, we have, three large, highly conservative financial services that organizations that actually are using our service, two in Europe and one in Canada. They actually went through, weeks and weeks of, reviewing all of our audits and compliance information to actually come to our service. Yeah. Yes?
If a user access sensitive data like put in the B policies, will that the information get blocked and like get access to that blocking?
So this, the question is about audit logs, when you put information in Office 365. Right. So what sort of information? If you're talking about, like, let's say your mailboxes, right? Your organization's mailboxes, or So if it comes to documents, we are adding to a couple of days back we announced we are adding similar data loss prevention capabilities to SharePoint Online as well. So if you upload a file that has certain sensitive information that you have identified as a sensitive information in your tenant, you will be able to protect it. But we don't have it right now, but it's coming soon. Yes, it will not only, you can set up, like I showed you, a data loss prevention templates for email. You can actually, set up things like, either you block users from actually uploading such information, or you do allow users to upload that information, but you warn them that this information will be logged, and that information will be logged, yes. Yes. Yes, that's what the auditing is all about in our portal. Right? It will be, that functionality will be added here in our op. Oh, I didn't switch. I'll show it to you. We have under compliance management. Right now, there's a lot of Exchange specific stuff, but we're also adding more and more about SharePoint, so we can actually see who accessed the file, like who uploaded, you know, sensitive information, that sort of stuff. Yes. Well, the fact that we've come out and said we're going to do it means it's pretty soon, but I'm not, I don't have the exact time frame.
Okay.
Right.
So this year probably, like 2014 probably?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't tell you the percentage, but, you know, probably yes.
Okay, thank you.
No, it could be. Anyway, so the point is that the fact that we've come out and said we're confident enough that we're working on it. Yes.
Hi. I was kind of fuzzy on the encryption part. The graphic that you had put on the screen seemed as if there was encryption at origin for some emails. My question is, do you offer the encryption at origin for all documents in SharePoint?
Encryption at origin for all documents in SharePoint. That's a great question. But we have like various encryption features, right? Let's take Rights Management Service, for example. That is 128-bit encryption. You can actually use, you can actually use the Rights Management Service on not only Office documents or any other document, and you can say protect in place. So it's encrypted and protected, right? So then whatever you send will be protected using Rights Management Service. Hope that answers your question. The simple answer is, yes, you do have the capability to protect it in place on your disk and then send it out to your, whether the document is copied onto USB or, you know, what have you, it's the protection stays with the file. Right, that's the, that's something that we've added recently, right? Before we used to, have RMS only for the Office documents and things of that sort. Now we have it for any file. Like you can even protect your music files or, any file. We have this thing called generic protection that we can apply to any file. Great. Well, if there are no further questions, I'll stick around if you want to come up and talk to me. Thank you very much.